Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. I am not Maggie Dawn. I am Dan Schaefer. I am your guest host this afternoon from 2 to 4 p.m. on the Civic Media Network. Thank you all so much for joining us. We've got a couple guests with us for the next segment here. First, we have Angela Lang, who is the Executive Director of Black Leaders Organizing for Communities, who's going to be joining us for the last half hour of the show. Angela, thank you so much for joining us.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
And we also have a very special guest joining us today. We have Eric Holder, the former Attorney General and now the chair of the National Democratic Redistricting Committee. Mr. Holder, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Angela.
Having a little connectivity issue. Mr. Holder, are you hearing us?
Yeah, I'm hearing you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now just fine. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me. It's good to talk to you, and it's good to talk to Angela as well.
Yes, you too.
So you have gotten involved in the Wisconsin Supreme Court race a little bit. You were recently in Milwaukee speaking with some organizers with Angela's group. You've been on the airwaves here on Civic Media. Why do you see this race as such an important one?
Well, I think that, you know, for Wisconsin, this is a battle between, it's boiled down to a battle between Musk money and democracy. You know, this is not a partisan choice anymore. I think this is a choice between a court majority that is pro-democracy and one that is anti-democracy. There's been a lot of progress made with this present configuration of the Supreme Court, and I think that progress is potentially at risk unless Susan Crawford is elected to be the next justice on the Supreme Court.
So there's been a lot of news in the last, you know, last little bit here about Elon Musk, about the richest man in the world you just mentioned here. He was just in Green Bay last night handing out $1 million checks to people. He's been spending outsized sums of money. The latest reports show north of $20 million that he has spent on the race. What's been your reaction to what Elon Musk has been up to in this race?
Well, what I think people in Wisconsin need to ask themselves, this is a guy who wants to harm democracy. He wants to do negative things to Social Security, to Medicaid, to Medicare. Do you think that the guy who has that mindset is going to be supportive of a candidate who is going to keep in mind the best interests of the voters of Wisconsin? I think the answer to that is obviously no. This is also a guy that is Musk who is suing so he can get better deals for his, you know, his Tesla ownership in Wisconsin. And I guess to ask people in Wisconsin again, do you think a guy is putting in $20 million or north of $20 million and is not going to expect some kind of return on that money? So I think the involvement of Musk here is something that is a legitimate consideration for voters as they try to size up the two candidates. I mean, I think that if you look at Susan Crawford, she's a person who's been a prosecutor, she's been a judge, she's been tough where that's been appropriate, she's been fair, and I think she's eminently qualified, has the appropriate temperament. You know, Schimmel, by contrast, the person she's running against, is almost like failed upwards. I mean, this is a guy, you know, who supported the gerrymander, who sued to get the Affordable Care Act done away with. He's done, has untested rape kits when he was attorney general. So there's the choices here are pretty stark. This is not a difficult choice. You got to be for the people of Wisconsin, or you got to be for the special interests. And if you're for the people, you vote for Susan Crawford.
That's right. What would you say to folks who may be frustrated after the November election and are like, ugh, we have another election. I don't even want to show up. Everything is dysfunctional. You got Elon Musk playing in this. What would you say to folks that feel a little kind of burned and bruised after the November election?
You know, I quote Fannie Lou Hamer, that great Mississippi activist who said, she said, you know, I'm in no ways tired. And the reality is that the American people can't be tired. You can't be frustrated. Democracy is a participatory endeavor. There's no off year for democracy. There's no off year elections. If you want democracy, you've got to do democracy. You've got to participate. You've got to vote. And it means that you don't always win. And it means that sometimes you're going to be frustrated. It means sometimes you're not going to win an election. That's okay. But Every election that comes up matters. You have to participate in every election. And we also have to honor those people who sacrificed, committed themselves, sometimes gave their lives so that we would have the opportunity to get to the polls, cast our ballots, and participate in the world's greatest democracy. So, you know, I understand how people can feel a little down, a little frustrated, but if you want to get this country back on the right track, you got to go to the polls tomorrow and vote for, you know, for Susan Crawford. Now, one thing I'd also say, and people need to understand this, if, you know, you haven't decided to vote, you can go and vote tomorrow. There is same-day registration. It's never too late to register. Make sure you bring a photo ID. Go to bringit.wi.gov for more details about photo ID. Make a plan to vote. Go to wisdems.org/vote right now and figure out where you should vote and all that. So you have one more day to decide that you're going to participate in this democracy and try to make this country better, try to make Wisconsin better.
We're talking with former U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder, who's had some really interesting things to say about the race here for Wisconsin Supreme Court. Now, you are the chair of the National Democratic Redistricting Committee, a national leader in the fight against gerrymandering. This has been a big issue in this race at the state level and beyond. Why do you think the gerrymandering issue is so important for Wisconsin?
Well, if you look at Wisconsin over the course of the last decade, you have seen Wisconsin be among the most gerrymandered states in the country. And that, in a very practical way, means that the people of the state have not necessarily had their political desires put into political realities. Republicans have gotten, on a few cycles, far fewer votes than Democrats and nevertheless controlled the legislature in Wisconsin and were able to push through a number of things that people in Wisconsin didn't necessarily support. They used that power that they got through gerrymandering. Over the course of my involvement in Wisconsin, starting back in 2017, we have fought to undo that gerrymander. This present Supreme Court, Wisconsin Supreme Court, said that, you know, the way in which the state legislative seats was drawn was in fact a gerrymander and undid it. And we have now seen a legislature that is more fair than it was, and I think is going to become even more fair in 26 when people have the ability to vote on maps that have become much more fair. But if people want to have their desires, their policy choices put into effect, gerrymandering is something that blocks that. And that's why I've been fighting against it all around the country. And I will say that I have stood against attempts by the Democratic Party to gerrymander as well. All I want to have is a system that is fair. And if it's fair, I think Democrats will do just fine. Progressives will do just fine.
Yeah, and I think that the state legislative maps were so clearly unfair. They were so clearly tilted to one side. There's been a lot of talk in this election about the congressional maps, too. Would you consider those maps to be fair?
As I look at them, they look, they look gerrymandered to me. But I guess, the decision about whether or not a case is going to be brought will be made by people other than me. But if you apply, I think, the standard metrics to it, I think you've got gerrymanders at the congressional map as well. But, and we'll see, what a Supreme Court would do with that kind of map. But that, as I said, will be decided by people other than me. My support for Susan Crawford is based on the fact that she's fair, that she's impartial. She'll decide cases on the facts and on the basis of the law. With regard to her opponent, I think he brings an ideological perspective to this race, and he'll decide cases, on the basis of ideology and partisanship. I mean, he has said that he wants to be, a person who is kind of like a surrogate of something for Donald Trump. And that is not that's not something that you would expect to hear from a judicial candidate. He said he wanted to be a support network for Donald Trump. So if you hear that, what is that? I mean, you can get a sense of where this guy is going to go if he has the ability to be a justice deciding these cases.
Well, I know you're a busy guy, and I appreciate you joining us here on the program this afternoon. Any final words for our listeners here on the Civic Media Network?
Well, I would say this is as important an election as Wisconsin maybe has ever had. It's going to have national implications. Let's not kid ourselves. This is going to reverberate beyond the borders of Wisconsin. But I would tell everybody, it's not too late to register to vote. You can vote on election. You can register and vote on election day. Make sure you bring a photo ID. And again, you want to check out, go to bringit.wi.gov for more details about photo ID. But I would urge everybody, you know, whatever, however you're going to decide to vote, I would urge everybody to get out there and vote tomorrow and vote for Susan Crawford for the next Supreme Court justice seat on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Susan Crawford, she's a clear choice.
Former United States Attorney General Eric Holder, thank you so much for joining us here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Best of luck in all of what you're working on going forward here.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Dan. See you, Angela. Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care.
So we've still got a couple minutes before the break here. Angela, your thoughts on what the former attorney general had to say?
I mean, you know, I've heard some of the same things that he's said before. And, you know, he's very consistent because at the end of the day, it is a very clear choice. And, you know, I personally am very frustrated by the fact that Elon Musk could just hand out checks to voters. And I've been seeing a lot of frustration as well. And I always appreciate the attorney general bringing extra attention, right? Like they have Elon Musk trying to bring attention to the state Supreme Court race. And, you know, we have people like former Attorney General Eric Holder that is just like, listen, I just wanted to be fair. Democrats, Republicans, I think there's one party that is a little bit more unfair a bulk of the time. But I think at the end of the day, he knows that the work in setting the foundation, if there is an equal playing field, progressives and Democrats will do just fine. But the playing field is not level right now, that we don't need to, you know, cheat and change the rules in order to win. We can actually play fairly and actually retain some power. But we have to kind of unscrew up the maps and some of these policies in the process.
Yeah. And like you mentioned, that, you know, this was such a big issue 2 years ago when Janet Protasiewicz was elected. I wrote a really big piece about gerrymandering in that race. And we have not even fully gotten out from under the legislative gerrymander. I mean, the assembly had, you know, all new maps for all 99 districts. The Senate was only half. So we haven't even fully turned the page on that era in Wisconsin. And I know, you know, Ben Wickler has mentioned this on the airwaves here on Civic Media on a number of occasions, that Republicans are fundraising on trying to re-gerrymander Wisconsin.
Yeah.
You know, the Republicans are talking a whole lot about the congressional maps. And you know, you heard what Holder had to say on that issue as well. But they are the maps were so clearly gerrymandered, and we still have not even fully had a fully post-gerrymander election in Wisconsin. And if Brad Schimmel wins, is that even going to be a possibility? Like, you know, I'm not going to like go through the what if game of like what's going on in the legal world, because I'm not a lawyer, nor do I want to be. You want to hear from a lawyer, just tune in tomorrow when Maggie's back. but I think it is, you know, it's just such a big issue. And I think that, you know, you could also make an argument that the congressional maps are gerrymandered. Like we have a 6-2 breakdown in those. I think, you know, it's less severe than what we're seeing in the legislative maps, but there's a case to be made there too.
Yeah. I mean, I think the language that a lot of folks use is that we have fairer maps, right? And that they're not 100% where they need to be. And, you know, you're looking at the year and it's like, all right, it's already 2025. We're going to start this redistricting process and the census and everything just right around the corner. And we still haven't completely made the current maps that we have fair. So this is still at play. And we've talked about how there's several more state Supreme Court races in the next couple of years. So all of these things kind of build on each other as we head into the next redistricting cycle.
Yeah, this year begins 6 consecutive years that there will be a Wisconsin Supreme Court race on the spring election ballot. So what we're dealing with now, more than $100 million in spending, the eyes of the world on us, this is the first of 6 in a row.
Yeah.
It's a lot. It's a lot. All right. Well, we've got one more segment after the break. Angela Lang is going to be sticking around with us. Thanks to everyone who has been listening and joining the show. Give us a call. Shoot us a text, 855-752-4842. And we'll be right back.